Hey guys, welcome to the Lifting Lindsay podcast. I always love being here with you guys today. Today is going to be one of those fun fact Fridays, this new thing that I'm doing. I hope it's useful to you guys. It's just going to be a little tip or just a small fitness fact, and I'll usually state what the fact is, and more importantly, how does it apply to you? I feel like it is so easy to get swept away by all of the fitness information, because unless you're doing this for your business, your job, you have a background in nutrition or a background in biomechanics for exercise selection and stuff, it can be hard to kind of weave through the information and then say, okay, but how does this apply to me? That's the first question. Does this even apply to me? And if so, how does this apply to me? There's a lot of nuance to fitness that I love diving deep into. But it's interesting because after diving so deeply into it and coming out of it and working with normal human beings, who a lot of them are like, I just want to be healthy. I just want to be strong. I just, you know, maybe they have body recomp goals, but they're not stepping up on stage. So does this information even apply to them? And I think it's a really, really good question, because 99.9% of the time, it doesn't apply to them. And it's interesting because you have to understand, I got swept away by a lot of this too. I'm not above this. When I first got into fitness, I did all of the stupid, weird movements. Literally, guys, I literally did squats on BOSU balls. I thought it was going to somehow miraculously increase my internal stability and work on core, plus all of the things that you're told that aren't really true. I did all of the stupid things. In fact, I had my friend Val on the show probably a year ago, 2 years ago, maybe even. And we were just laughing about, because we got into fitness around the same time, and we were just laughing at all of the things that we did. And do you know what? It's okay. It's okay to go through and try these things and to learn for yourself that, yeah, well, that one didn't work out. So I've been there. I've tried. Yesterday, I had a live on for my community, my Be Strong community. And I had my husband, Alex, join me for the live, because I get questions from people who are on the live, but also if you can't make it, the lives are recorded and put on our membership site, and you can ask any question you want. And I love it because I can talk, like there's Zoom calls. So I'm talking to you face to face, answering your questions, hearing your history. I can ask questions. We can really have a good discussion. Like yesterday, we talked about one woman. We talked about different ways that she can find maintenance between hiring a coach, between using Macro Factor, but also how can she do it on her own? And we talked about all of her options that she has. Anyway, I really do love those live calls, but I got a question about making it a lifestyle. And so I brought in Alex, and we were talking, both of us together, on how we have tried to create a home that was rooted in health and fitness without making it an obsession. You know, that's a fear of mine. That is definitely a fear of mine of, and I have had some personal feelings lately that my children are not to see me weigh things. I've had that feeling very strongly. And I am so grateful that years ago, I dived into mindful eating And I have a mindful eating course where I just use all of those principles. But I even told Alex, because he weighs things and weighs his food. And I told him, I have this strong feeling that our children are not to see us weighing everything. Now, I'm not saying there's going to be somebody out there who's internalizing this. And she's calling me a bad parent. I'm not calling you a bad parent at all. I am merely stating in my situation with my children that I have felt very strongly you need to focus on your mindful eating approach and not have them see you weigh everything. Now, obviously, they're going to see me weigh stuff when I'm making recipes because that's part of it, right? But if I am going to have some chips, I'm going to take out some chips for my lunch and have that be part of it, then they're not to see me weigh everything. I have this mindful eating course, and it's available just as part of the app membership for all of my Be Strong members and my training app members. But I got a question that I thought was really good. There's this one module where it's like this 20, it might even be like 35, 40 minute module where I go over restricting foods and how a lot of times like over restriction actually increases cravings because the brain will label the food as scarce, which usually makes the brain want to what? To stock up on it. It's a scarce resource. Therefore, when it's available at this party, at this, you know, holiday celebration, well, that food is scarce. What do you, and I've completely restricted it. Your brain is going to may increase the cravings because it's labeled it scarce and it wants to stock up. And these are just things that as we've developed as humans and as part of just like survival of our species, our brain works a certain way. And so some people can have grit to just fight through that. Other people, it makes things worse. So I have a module on how to work through emotional eating. And it talks about how to step away from that scarcity mindset. But it also goes over how emotional hunger needs emotional solutions. So I teach something called the pause. So before you eat, you need to pause and ask yourself, why am I eating this? Am I physically hungry or am I emotionally hungry? So spending time with that pause and getting curious, is this physical hunger? Is this emotional hunger? And then if it is emotional hunger, then it needs an emotional solution. Otherwise, it just spirals into these binges as you are trying to fill a void with food that cannot be filled by food. And I know that there are women listening to this right now saying, that's exactly what I do. Because think about it, when after a stressful situation, a stressful discussion, your baby's been crying for 2 hours, what do you want? You want to feel good right now. What can make you feel good right now? Food can do that. But the problem is it's an emotional hunger. It needs to be filled by finding peace or by not avoiding relationship conversations, confrontations. It oftentimes, and I talk about this in the mindful eating course too, oftentimes we use food to as a means of finding a solution without really finding a solution, but we feel appeased in the moment. And it's just a way for us to avoid. It's an avoidance tactic. We are avoiding finding real solutions in our lives. So under this particular, it's section three, emotional eating of the mindful eating course. And I got a question from somebody that I thought was really good. She said, Lindsay, I've loved and needed all this information so much, so thank you. Wondering if there are times you have ever overeaten or eaten over your calories of maintenance for a special occasion or whatever, you know, and that may be, I wasn't dealing with my emotions very well. And I chose this easy out instead of finding an emotional solution, an easy out if I'm just going to feel good in this moment by stuffing myself. And then, but notice how you just feel good in the moment, because an hour later, it's like, why did I do that? And I'm still dealing with the same emotions because that didn't really solve anything. I still have this, whatever it may be, hanging over my head. So he didn't really solve anything. In fact, I made it worse because now I'm adding on this, why did I do this? This regret. So there's multiple reasons why somebody may, as they're figuring out mindful eating over their maintenance, right? Like she said, a special occasion, or maybe it's one of these emotional eating moments. And she said, and if so, what do you personally do about it? Because I feel like even with mindful eating, sometimes we all overeat here and there, right? So my answer to this is really, really simple. Beyond the tips that I give in the mindful eating course of the pause and the learning to, am I really hungry? Or am I searching for something else? I feel good. Am I using food right now to just numb out in a way, avoid feeling emotion? So beyond the tips of using the pause and journaling methods, I do think it's important that we have a lot of grace with ourselves as we are learning these things. And aside from using those tactics to look back and learn, what could I have done better next time? How could I have handled that better next time? How could I use the fullness and hunger scale that I teach better next time? Beyond that, because there are those elements, I just want to remind you of something you already know that is actually really, really simple. Because I do agree, sometimes we all do overeat. Even though we know these mindful eating tactics, even though we've been practicing them, we go to a party or an event or whatever, and we enjoy ourselves. Or those that drink may accidentally like find that they're drinking too much, right? We all have these moments. But just like how one day of eating salads or fasting or really driving into a low calorie deficit or whatever, for anybody who's ever dieted, does one day of dieting do much? No, it doesn't. It doesn't at all. One day does. In fact, we barely see things move. Maybe if you're fasting, you'll see things move a little bit more because, you know, you've depleted yourself. But otherwise, when I'm talking about real significant amounts of body fat lost for that day, even though you're in a calorie deficit of, you know, like I said, maybe you fast all day or you get into, you know, a steep calorie deficit of some kind, like 750 calorie deficit. How much actual fat loss do you see in that one single day? Do you get where I'm going with this? Not much. And certainly no impactful long-term effects on that fat loss. So why would eating a little bit over maintenance, or even 750 calories over maintenance, 1,000 calories over maintenance, one day, why would that be any different? One day is not going to greatly impact fat loss, and it is not going to greatly or significantly impact fat gains. So we have to be better at stepping back and really analyzing things over time. Now, if I am consistently eating in a calorie surplus over time, even 2-3 times a week over time, yes, that is going to accumulate body fat over time. And if you are consistently in a calorie deficit over time, likewise, we are going to see over time fat loss. So we have to be better at stepping back and seeing the full picture. And what's great about stepping back and seeing the full picture is we see things for what they really are. That if you're doing awesome at mindful eating and you are learning your body's appropriate cues and you are respecting your body and learning fullness and hunger and satisfaction cues and all, and eating slower and finding more filling, fibrous foods. And if we're doing these things and making steps in the right direction, then over time, what we're going to see is we are maintaining and also enjoying more of that freedom of not having to track 24/7. And it's so wonderful to experience that and then experience a day where, you know, we went on a cruise last October. And me and Alex both ate mindfully. We were very active, having a lot of fun playing with our kids. And on a cruise, it is literally all you can eat. And I applied all of the principles that I taught in my mindful eating course. I was not overly restrictive. I chose the foods that I wanted to enjoy, and I ate them in moderation. I teach in my course, you know, like I said, the hunger and fullness scale and how to appropriately read that to your body. And I applied all of these things. And I came back, I think I was up maybe 1 pound or two. Alex had actually lost a little weight, I believe. And it was just this freeing. I could go on a vacation and enjoy myself, not be in the scarcity mindset, and not put on a ton of weight. And there were days where I remember getting really enjoying the dessert. There was, I think, one night where I'm like, oh, I shouldn't have gotten my own dessert plus shared one of the kids. But at the same time, I knew that one day didn't mean much. It was the consistency over time of me doing that behavior that would equate to me over time putting on weight. Okay. So if we can learn to step back, both if the goal is fat loss or if the goal is maintenance, it is going to help us see things as they really are and not so emotionally. Because a lot of times somebody overeats one day and they are so emotional about it that then they start this restrictive behavior, which drives them further into scarcity, which can actually drive binges up. And it is this horrible downward spiral for them. So if we can learn to step back, view things as they really are, that it's about behaviors over time, then we will actually make wiser decisions. So I hope that this has helped just give you some tidbits on mindful eating, on the fact that overeating one day, this is why so many coaches over and over and over, good, qualified, we've worked with hundreds of people, we have healthy relationships with body and food coaches. Let me preface it with that, because there are a plethora of coaches out there that will teach, oh, you overate one day, then restrictive behavior, do all the cardio, starve yourself the next day, fast, all of these things. You don't actually need to do that. You don't need to do that because it is not going to greatly influence things very much. You may see a slight increase in the scale due to more water weight, more food in your digestive tract, all of those things. How much of it is from actual body fat? Probably next to none. One day overeating a little bit. Okay, so we don't need to live in this cycle of, oh, if I have that day, then I need to, you know, overly restrict the next day. Now, I'll be honest with you. Sometimes I'm just not as hungry the next day. And so I don't feel the need to eat as much. And that's fine. Listen to your body. That's part of the mindful eating course, is actually teaching, you know, when you focused for so long on the numbers of tracking macros. Not that I demonize that at all. You guys know that I teach that, and there's application for all of these different tools, whether that's mindful eating, whether that's tracking macros. There's a time and a place when tools need to be used. Just like we don't use a hammer on everything when we're trying to build a house, because there are different tools that will actually do a better job at different points of the building process. It's the same in your life. So tracking macros may have been the right tool at one period, and now mindful eating is the right tool at this period. But I think it's really important to understand that a lot of times when we hyperfixate on a number and hitting a number, many times we then step away from listening to certain cues within our body. Not that they don't happen and are still there. And I'm talking about at maintenance, right? Sometimes when we hyper-focus on the numbers, we actually step away from listening to and being able to listen appropriately to our body. So there is a time where in maintenance, we do need to learn again appropriate mindful eating tactics. And some people have never learned that. And that's why I think it's so important to learn that, to learn the hunger and fullness scale. And I'm actually going to tag that in the notes here so you can see that scale. And I oftentimes, I'll share one more tip and then let you go for the day, because this is already longer than it's supposed to be. It's not really a fun fact Friday if it's, you know, 30 minutes long. But I oftentimes tell people, don't allow yourself to dip under 4 in the hunger scale. Because what happens when you do that is that's when we start making really poor choices with food. And we are so hungry at that point that we eat a lot faster, and it takes our body time to send signals to the brain saying, stop eating, I'm full. So if you eat too fast because you're so ravenous, so hungry, then it increases the chances of you overeating. So we don't want to allow ourselves to get too hungry. Don't get it below a 4. And then when you do eat, take your time. Eat slowly. Chew and enjoy every bite. Sit down. Don't be watching something or reading something and eating. Sit down and intentionally be in the moment and enjoy your food. Chew slowly, eat slowly, drink your water. And then once you hit about a 7 on fullness, and go ahead and look at that scale and you'll know a little bit more of what I'm talking about here. Once you hit about a 7 at fullness, that's when you're done. You have hit that. I'm getting these cues saying, I'm satisfied. I'm done. You're not stuffed, because that's an indication that either you ate too fast or you overate, right? So staying within that like 4 to 7 is, that's like the sweet spot where people won't be overeating as much. But like this amazing app member brought up, sometimes we do go to parties and we overeat and we go to an 8 or 9 because we're just in the moment. We're just enjoying. Then what? Nothing. You go back to your normal lifestyle. And if you have been appropriately learning these cues of fullness, satisfaction, hunger, all of that, the next day, depending on how much you overate, you may feel less hungry that day and go by those cues. Maybe you don't need to eat as much. A lot of times that food may still be in your system trying to get out. So bad idea to just eat something, force yourself to eat it because you feel like you have to eat it. Go by what your body is telling you, if you've appropriately learned these cues, that, you know, why aren't you as hungry today? Well, because yesterday you ate more and that is still kind of working through your system. So that is my suggestion for that. And I hope that that's been helpful for you guys today. You guys are awesome. You guys have a wonderful weekend. I'll talk to you later. Thank you so much for joining me today on the Lifting Lindsay podcast. If you are interested in learning more about the Mindful Eating course, in the notes, I'm going to have a link to where you can either join the training app and have access to all of my courses, or you can buy the Mindful Eating course as a standalone. It includes modules where we talk in depth. You can ask questions. It has a journal. It has homework assignments for you. This is a very, very much hands-on. You've got to do the work. It's not just you listening to some podcast or module. I invite you to do the work to see real outcomes and changes. So if you are ready to step away from being so fixated on tracking every tiny little thing that goes in your mouth, or for one reason or another, you just find it's not working for your mental and emotional health, then I really would strongly encourage you, click on the links below to learn more. I would love to help teach you how you can maintain your body composition, how you can even use these tools for fat loss, that you can learn more mindful eating approaches for really a truly long-term healthy mind and body.